So we take this moment in the service, take a bit of a pause, take a bit of a breather, because actually just watching the choir and the dancing would making me sweat a bit. So have a bit of a pause, and I'm going to share with you a few thoughts about Christmas, maybe for the next, how long have you got? Maybe about an hour? That'll sort it out. losing your attention? Tessa, I've got a few stories about Tessa today. She told me about a book that she's been reading, and in it there's a rabbi, and he's an amazing speaker. And so everybody wants to go hear this amazing speaker, even priests. And so one day, one of the priests asked the rabbi, what's your secret to being such a great speaker? And the rabbi said, well, you know, if they give me 60 minutes to speak, then I speak for 50. If they give me 50 minutes, then I speak for 40. If they give me, where I'm up to, 40, then I speak for 30. And so on. And so I've been given 10 minutes. So, anyway, time's up. but they made me the pastor here a few months ago, so I get a few perks. And it's got another story that Tessa told me. And the story goes like this. A pirate Santa walks into a bar, and he sees his friend, the Tooth Fairy, sitting there. And so Pirate Santa walks up to the Tooth Fairy and goes, how are you, mate? Better order some eggnog. So he orders some eggnog. You know, I think that's what Santa and the Tooth Fairy drink. Would that be right? Eggnog? Mulled wine? Well, I don't know. Anyway, eggnog. It's just a story. True story. And then and they get chatting, you know, catching up as they do, Pirate Santa and Tooth Fairy catching up. And Pirate Santa, out of the blue, he goes to the Tooth Fairy, I don't believe in unicorns. And the Tooth Fairy's like, what the heck? Who doesn't believe in unicorns? He goes, why not? Why not, Pirate Santa? And Pirate Santa goes, I don't see the point. She made that up. That's a good joke. I just added the bit about the pirates, because I like them. How am I going for time now? Less good. Anyway, I've just got one thought that I want to elaborate on about Christmas. So Christmas, as we know, is a tradition, and it's observed by many, many people all around the world. Not by everybody. I know there's some countries, some people groups that are not interested in Christmas. But many people all around the world, millions of people, will be celebrating, remembering Christmas. And like a lot of traditions, Christmas comes with its own fair share of baggage, and some, well, actually quite a few not very useful things. And it kind of often seems to happen with traditions, like when traditions get passed down generation after generation after generation, they can become quite disconnected from what they were all about to start with, like why it became a tradition. And we've got heaps of them. Hey, you don't have to think very hard. We've got Queen's birthday. So Queen's birthday, we celebrate it in New Zealand. She was probably born in England. It's not even her birthday that we do Queen's birthday, but it's a day off, so we got that one. Guy Fawkes Day, I think this is quite a good one. Guy Fawkes. So apparently his name was actually Guido, which is quite nice. He tried to blow up the English Parliament back in 1605, a few years ago, in England. And so for some reason, 400 years later, we like to set off firecrackers. It's like, what the heck? That's so disconnected. Why don't we do something else? And then there's a recent tradition that we've appropriated here in New Zealand. You know about Black Friday? Hey, Black Friday sales. So over in the US, they have Thanksgiving, third Thursday of November, and then the day after that is Black Friday sales. Massive, massive sales, and I think it's part of the preparation for Christmas. So here, for some reason, we've decided to skip the Thanksgiving part and go right to the Black Friday sales. It's like, man, what's that about? It can sometimes start to feel quite meaningless and empty, eh? Like we're just about consuming stuff or practicing these traditions where they're quite disconnected. And I think Christmas can be like that as well. Like we have all the sort of the baggage that comes along with it. Santa parades, with or without Santa. Shops endlessly playing Christmas carols. I've talked before about our Pack and Save and Petone and how the poor trolley guys, they've got to put up with Christmas carols all day long from like beginning of December. There's pressure to buy family presents. There's pressure to have a big family lunch or some sort of gathering. There's pressure to have a beautifully decorated Christmas tree and all that kind of thing. And these are all traditions, and I'm not saying that they're bad, it's just that they're not really what Christmas is all about. So Christmas is a tradition. It's been celebrated for many, many years. It's been celebrated on December the 25th since about 435, where a pope decided that was going to be the day that they're going to remember the birth of Jesus. It's not Jesus' birthday, just to clear that up. He's probably not born then. Maybe he was. One in 365 chances, I guess. Anyway, so for about 1700 years, people have been celebrating Christmas. And it's not because they get a day off work, not because Santa Claus came down in the middle of the night and left some presents in a stocking, all those kind of things. But the reason that people celebrate it is because of this really crazy story, which when you think about it, it's pretty nuts. Sounds too good to be true. But many, many people, all through the years, through the centuries, have actually believed this story. Yeah, many of us here today believe this story. And the story goes like this. 2,000 years ago, young woman, name was Mary, she found out she was pregnant. And there's two problems. Problem number one, in that time, she wasn't married. It's a big problem 2,000 years ago in Jewish culture. Number two, even bigger problem, she'd never have sex. And 2,000 years ago, they didn't know many things, but they did know where babies came from. No, they knew a lot, man. They knew a lot. Pardon? Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, should have had a, what's this? R waiting. I meant to say six. Okay, anyway, mummy and daddy didn't do a special cuddle and. Am I digging a hole? Anyway, she's pregnant. Mary finds out she's pregnant. And then an angel turns up, an angel, a messenger from the Lord, and he says, don't worry, God's made you pregnant. That's going to help. And the angel told her these other amazing things about who this baby was going to be, that he was going to be called the Son of the Most High, that he was going to be great, and that his kingdom would never end. So we jump forward in time a few months, and now Mary's acquired a husband. His name's Joseph. And they're on their way to a really, really small town called Bethlehem. I was reading about it. It was probably maybe 400 or 500 people, really small. So a town like that, probably not much accommodation. Anyway, whatever accommodation they had was all filled up. And it sounds like they ended up in a stable because just at that time, when they're in Bethlehem, away from home, the baby decides that it's time to be born, as babies do, inconvenient at the best of times. And so the best that Mary and Joseph could do while baby's born was to put him in an animal trough. The old-fashioned word is manger. This is not a manger, that's more like a cot with straw in it, but kind of like that. No offense. I'm going to be paying for this later. Anyway, they put the baby in an animal trough. This is the story. And then a whole lot of shepherds turn up, and they've seen a choir, an angel, and then a chorus of angels. And the angels had told them that this baby that had been born was somehow amazing, someone special. So they turn up. And then you've got also these wise men that turn up, and they've traveled all the way from another country, and they've somehow mysteriously read in the stars that there was going to be a king born. And so they'd come along to pay their respects, to bow down and pay their respects to this king. They actually bowed down and worship him. So Mary and Joseph, they named the baby Jesus, and he was destined, you know, from the story, he's destined to be an exceptional kind of person. So there's another tradition that we celebrate during the year. And in some ways, this tradition is far, far more important than Christmas. Because you can't have Easter without Christmas. Easter, though, it remembers a time about 30 years later after the birth of Jesus. The baby Jesus has grown up. He has indeed become an exceptional kind of person. He's the kind of person that could heal the sick. It's pretty special. He could raise dead people back to life. That's pretty good. He could know people's hidden secrets, he could predict the future, he could control the weather, and he could do all sorts of amazing things. He even said that he could forgive people of their sins. He was really, really popular with people because he cared. He cared for people. He loved them. But at the same time, Jesus had become an enemy of the controlling groups. He became their enemy, and so they wanted him dead. So they managed to manipulate the systems. They had him arrested. They put him on trial, and then they executed him by putting nails through his hands and his feet up on a wooden cross. Which kind of sucks, doesn't it? Because you have this baby that was destined to be king, this baby that was destined to have a kingdom that never end, and he's now dead on the cross. But this is a crazy story. A few days later, Jesus came back to life. And it says in the Bible that he appeared to many, many people. He first of all appeared to some women in the garden outside his grave. That would be a bit freaky for them. He has a conversation with some people when they're on a walk to a nearby town. And my favorite bit, he has a barbecue on the beach. He has some barbecued fish on a beach with some other friends. One of his friends couldn't believe that this man had come back to life, and so he actually put his fingers in his holes and in the hole in his side. It's a bit gross. And a few weeks later, Jesus was blessing his followers, and it says that he had his hands raised, and then all of a sudden he's taken into heaven. It just disappears. So his followers then, they worshipped him. And they came to, they believed that he was in fact God as well as a man. Which is really amazing. That it was God that was born as a baby boy. It was God that was put to bed in that animal trough. That it was God who had healed all these people, that had set people free. And it was God that forgave sins. And finally, that it was God who was executed, who died and was resurrected a few days later. And he did all this so that people could have a relationship with God, and even better, that this relationship could extend beyond our own deaths and into eternity. We get to live forever with God. So all these years later, we get to Christmas time, and we have a question before us. And the question is this tradition anything more than Christmas carols, decorations, presents, and holidays, or is there something to it? Who was in the manger? In that animal trough on the first Christmas morning. We live in a world that is mysterious and unexplained, and even our highest scientific attempts at understanding how we all got here, at some point they all fall back onto some miraculous step of faith. And could it be that God, who orchestrated such a miracle by bringing all of this into existence, what if God himself entered our own creation to reach it and to save it? Because according to the Bible, that's what happened. Crazy, but if it's true, then it really changes everything. It turns everything upside down. There's another book in the Bible. there's a book in the Bible. There's many books. There's a book in the Bible called Isaiah that was written hundreds and hundreds of years before the time of Jesus. And in it, there's this prophecy about Jesus that Jesus' followers reckon is actually about Jesus. And it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." So, you might be here today, and you might think this is all a bit of nonsense. Or you might be sitting there and you might think that maybe there's something in this that could be true. And if you're in that space, then I encourage you. You might want to spend some time even this morning and ask God. It's called praying. You ask God if it's true. And to put the invitation out to Jesus to reveal to you what is empty tradition, what is the baggage, and what is true. What is true and meaningful. You might even be here today and you want to meet with Jesus, like you believe it's true. And if you're in that space, then after the service, I'd love to talk to you, love to pray with you, and you can enter into that relationship for all eternity. It's really good. I recommend it. Or you might talk to the people that you came with, your friends. So I'm going to leave it there. We're going to sing some more songs, And I'll pray while the band and the choir take their positions. Yeah, dear Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, this is an incredible story. For some reason, for thousands of years, people have believed this crazy story. That a God could become a baby, that baby could live among us, that baby would then would die on a cross and would be resurrected, and all of that so that we could be free from our sins and be in relationship with God, the one who knows us better than anybody else, the one who loves us more than anyone else. So Lord, I pray that this morning as we continue singing these songs, that you would, for all of us, Father, you'd reveal yourself to us, that you would speak your truth into our hearts and into our minds, Lord. And I pray that over the next few weeks of this Christmas season, that there would be something special that you'd give to us, Father. We thank you so much for your love. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.